Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Ron's Amazing Stories. We have stories that should thrill you a little and chill you a little.
It's amazing.
You will hear adventures sent in by you guys, classic stories from the pulp mags, and episodes from the golden age of radio. We have special segments like Ghost Stories with Sylvia.
That's amazing.
And the paranormal with Jason.
I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
So settle in for the next hour and enjoy the show. Oh, and you just might want to prepare yourself to be taken away from today.
Another 5 minute mystery.
This 5 minute mystery is being brought to you by The Paranormal with Jason, the RAS segment that tries to answer the question, if we're not alone, then what the heck was that? You will hear Jason's pilot episode today.
Bill?
Hmm?
Bill, what's the matter? You scarcely said a word all the way home.
What do you want me to say?
Just that we're still friends. That everything will be just the same in spite of the fact...
In spite of the fact that you've changed your mind about marrying me?
Oh, Bill, please. It's just that I need more time. Isn't it better to make sure now? After we're married, it would be too late.
But how can a girl... Oh, well, I guess I can take it.
Here's my house.
Is this going to be our last goodbye?
Oh, Bill, it's not that bad. We're still going to be the same.
That's it, Sparkers. Stick them up.
What?
Yeah. Bill!
Hand over your wallet, fella, and that purse, lady.
Hey, what's this all about?
Don't mind your talk, buddy. Just do as you're told. Lady, I'll take that jewelry.
I've got my ring. Please.
I said...
And that's how it happened, Inspector. He just stepped off the curb out of nothingness and... And before I knew what had happened, he'd shot her.
It was terrible, Inspector. When I got to the car, my daughter was dead.
Well, how soon after the shot did Mr. Larson ring your bell, Mrs. Kay?
Oh, it was a very short time.
Tell me exactly what happened after that.
Well, Bill was standing there, white as a ghost. He muttered something to me. Something like, Mrs. Kay, Helen's been shot. Call the police.
And you did? I made the call, Inspector, and Mrs. Kay ran out to the car.
At first, I couldn't believe that she was really dead. She just seemed to be sitting there, quiet-like, in the car. Even when I opened the car door...
You mean there was no sign of a wound?
I didn't see it at first. I started to take her hand and speak to her, but it was already cold. And then I saw a pool of blood in the middle of the front seat and knew she was dead.
Please, Inspector, I think Mrs. Kay is taking just about as much of this questioning as she can take.
I'm all right, Neil. I won't rest until this whole thing is settled. Until the man who murdered my daughter is behind bars.
I understand how you feel, Mrs. Kay. And I'm happy to say I don't think you'll have too long to wait.
What do you mean, Inspector?
You mean they found some clues? Not only clues, Mr. Larson. We've found the murderer. It's been right under our nose the whole time.
Are you trying to be funny at a time like this?
Hardly, Mr. Larson.
What do you mean by that statement, then?
Just this, Mr. Larson. I'm arresting you for the murder of Miss Helen Kay.
How did Inspector Clark know that Bill Larson had murdered Helen Kay? Do you know the clue? In a moment, we'll hear, but first...
Yes, how did he know? I was there and it sure sounded like somebody shot her over her ring. The boyfriend has a motive, but it sure seems like he's innocent to me. I guess we're at the mercy of the policeman here and best head back to find out what really happened.
And now, back to our mystery.
Mr. Larson, you were insanely jealous over that girl. When she told you that she had fallen for someone else, you couldn't take it. Besides, your fake story had a hole in it a mile wide. You said that the murderer stepped off the curb while the car was parked in front of Helen's house. That would be on Helen's side of the car. But Mrs. Kay testified, and I can verify it myself, that the bloodstains were in the middle of the seat. If the shot had come from Helen's side of the car, as you said, the bullet wound would have been on the right side near her door and not on the middle of the seat, the side nearest you. Come on, Larson. You're going for another ride. But this one will be your last.
Is anyone else here confused? I think these guys broke Radio 101 protocol. Don't act out one thing and then tell us another unless you have a very good reason. I personally think the guy was telling the truth, and that's all I have to say. Well, I should say that this 5-Minute Mystery was brought to you by The Paranormal with Jason, debuting on this very podcast in just a few minutes.
Yes, that you say.
Well, I have to say I'm pretty excited about the show today.
I'm excited. Are you excited?
I'm thrilled.
We have the pilot that we've been waiting for weeks.
Ron, is that the one with Jason Dowd?
Yes, British guy, it is. He is here to tell us what happened to Larson's doll and read all the contest entries sent in by you guys. I know, it's gonna be great.
Is there anything else?
There is. This is Dual Story Week. Three listeners have sent in 2 stories each, and they're all about paranormal stuff.
You made that up.
I did not. We had something pretty cool happen this past week. Do you remember that I told you that we were 110th in the Apple Fiction category in the Philippines? This week, we jumped all the way up to number 62. I was actually pretty shocked. Also, a few of you wrote in and wanted to know what our rank is on the same category list for Australia. It took some looking, but we are ranked 98th down under. Colin Ryan from Waterford, Ireland wrote in and said, Ron, you told us the UK numbers for your podcast, but I know that there are more than a few of us here in Ireland that listen as well. What is that number? Well, Connor, in the last 90 days, that number is 82. Guturamagut. That means thank you in Gaelic, I think. All of this got me to thinking, if any of you want to know your country, state, or province download numbers, just ask Guturamagut. Now, let's get back to the show with this classic Audible segment starring our friend, the great Jim Harold. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/bronzeamazingstories. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, computer, Kindle. Whatever you have, you can listen to Audible on it. So what am I listening to right now? Men in Black, written by Steve Perry and narrated by David Dukes. Well, Jim, we all know this story, but having it read for you by an expert is, well, it's just fun.
Yeah, I love Audible, and we've been talking about Audible for years on our shows, and it is just such a great way to consume content because, just like podcasting, you know, you may not have the time to read a book that you really want to read, but you can do it while you're doing other things. You can be driving. You can be working in the yard. You can be cooking, cleaning, whatever it might be. Exercising, which I need to do more of. And yet you can listen to this great content, and I'm a big fan of Audible.
Well, I am too, and I got to tell you a little bit about this book. Everybody knows what it's about. While much of the world watches and waits for signs of alien life, a select group of men know the truth that alien beings are here today walking among us in human form. These are the men of a top secret agency dedicated to tracking and policing these aliens, an organization known only as the Men in Black. Now, doesn't that sound like a fun story, Jim?
It does. It does.
And Jim, did you know that you can have the Men in Black today for free? For free!
No waiting. Imagine.
Here's what Audible has set up for us. Audible is offering a free audiobook and 30 days to give you the opportunity to check out their service. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/Ron's Amazing Stories. Again, that's audibletrial.com/Ron's Amazing Stories, and you can get your free book today. Jim, are you going to go get this book today?
I think I will, and Audible is great.
Thank you, Audible.
These are your stories, sent by you, for you.
I think one of the benefits to the COVID-19 lockdown is that you've been sending me more stories than normal. This has given me the opportunity to group like stories together. For example, last week we had some synchronicity. Well, this week, that connection is a bit more hazy, but it's still there. What we have are stories that came in as groups of two. Okay, I know it's a stretch, but hey, it is a connection, and here at Ron's Amazing Stories, we're all over connectivity. So, sit back and enjoy your stories. Our first set of stories comes from Alexis Hope from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. I've always wanted to visit Mount Pleasant. They have one of the most amazing bridges I've ever seen. Alexis writes this from a post originally found on Reddit. I remember when I was little, I would see things that I couldn't explain. As adult, I chalked it up to my fascination with the paranormal. I would stay up till 3 a.m. or so watching Mystery Hunters, Destination Truth, Ancient Aliens, etc. I'm still very much into the genre, but I'm a little more skeptical nowadays. From the experiences I remember, I recall being knocked down by an unknown force and seeing a white figure run into my late great-grandmother's room, being chased by a cat. My mom would also bring me to those aura readings, or whatever, and we would go once a year. Every year it was the same blue aura around me. I haven't had a picture taken in years, but maybe someday I'll try it again. Anyways, my mom just shared this story with me, and it made me remember another story my grandmother had told me. I think they're kind of weird and fascinating, so I thought I'd share them with you. I don't remember these events very well. I'm only retelling the stories my mother and grandmother told me. This first experience my mother shared with me. I remember it faintly, as I believe she's told this story before. But trying to remember the actual event is fuzzy. I was 4 at the time, and we were in a Hallmark store. The clerk was a young girl with curly red hair. As she was checking us out, I asked if she had a sister. She paused and said yes, and then carried on. She seemed bothered by my question. After we had been all checked out, she approached us as we left and asked how I knew she had a little sister. I said I saw her standing behind her and that she looked exactly the same but had different clothes on. The clerk then tried to quietly tell my mom that she had a twin sister, but she was stillborn. She asked my mom to bring me back again sometime, and we went back many times after that, but I never saw her sister again. I don't remember this next story at all. It was told to me by my grandmother. I was playing in my room alone, and my grandmother came in to check on me. She saw that I was sitting in a circle with my stuffed animals. Across from me was an empty space, and I was playing patty cake with that empty space. She asked who I was playing with, and I said, "Why, it's Uncle Tom." The problem was that I had never met my Uncle Tom. He had died years before my birth and was in a whole different state, so there's no way I could have knew him or knew about him. I'm in my early 20s now, and I haven't had a paranormal experience since I was around 7 or 8 years old. I guess it's true that kids see the darndest things. Alexis Hope, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Well, Alexis, thank you for your story. That was a couple of strange ones. I too have heard that kids can see things that we as adults just miss. The more stories I hear like these, the more I believe the concept is true. These next two stories come from Larry Bursey, who lives in Stevenson, Virginia, which is a couple miles north of Winchester. I have edited Larry's story and then sent it back to him for his approval, which he has graciously given. Hello, Ron. I once had a dog and she unfortunately passed away. Her name was Ruthie. One night after I had gone to sleep, I was awoken by my bed shaking. That was quickly followed by the sound of unexplained laughter. I was trying to figure out what was happening, and I narrowed it down to an earthquake or mental break. Perhaps both. Then I heard the sound of newspapers crackling on the floor beside the bed. You see, I used to keep them there for my dog during her house training days. I got up the courage and carefully looked over the edge. As sure as day, I saw what appeared to be the spirit of Ruthie. I watched in utter amazement as she simply faded away. I have a second story to share that is also strange. I was at my church setting up chairs, alone, for an upcoming meeting. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a black figure drifting about the church area. I turned to get a better look, and then it saw me too. The thing floated straight towards me and got pretty close. Then, just like my dog, it too vanished. Larry Bursey, Stevenson, Virginia. I have a fondness for pet stories. Most believe that when pets die, they die. I'm not from that school. I believe and hope that they too get to live on after leaving this mortal coil. There is some biblical evidence that suggests that this is just the case. Thank you for your story, Larry. It was much appreciated. Our last set of stories come from Texas by way of Arkansas. Confused? Don't be. Jamie Nichols was born and raised in Texas, but is now a fireman in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Now, why do we say Arkansas over Arkansas? Well, that is the doing of the French. In 1881, the Arkansas Historical Society concluded that both Kansas and Arkansas have roots in similar Indian tribe names, but that Kansas chose to follow the standard English pronunciation marked by the hard A sound in can and vocalizing the final S, while Arkansas stuck with the original French pronunciation, which kept that final S silent. That bit of knowledge is the kind of research we just do for you here at the RAS. Now, here are Jamie's stories. Hello, Ron. I am a displaced Texan, and I have two stories that I know you're gonna like. The first is an orb encounter, and the second is with Chupacabra. Both took place in Texas, and since I have moved, I have not had a single paranormal twist. I love the paranormal, and I'm working hard to get my wife to agree to go home. You see, the spirits and cryptids all love Texas. The Marfa lights are mysterious glowing orbs that appear in the desert outside the West Texas town of Marfa. They have mystified people for generations. I, myself, am from Marfa, and I can tell you that these lights are real. One night, a buddy and I were out at Mitchell Point trying to get a view of them. It is a random thing, and no one has ever been able to predict when they will appear. They hover, merge, twinkle, split into two, flicker, float up into the air, or dart quickly across the flats. It truly is amazing. We had settled in with lawn chairs and beer, and we were having a good old time when the lights appeared. We laughed and cheered as they danced around the night sky. Two of the orbs broke off from the others and headed straight for us. They buzzed the tower, so to speak. It was so exciting, and I will never forget it. These lights are alive, and no person will ever convince me otherwise. My second story also comes from Mitchell Point. In my younger days, I was hired by a local rancher to guard his cattle and goats at night. He was mostly worried about his goats. He was losing one or two a week to unknown predators. It was my job to stay up, watch things, and keep this from happening. The first 2 weeks went by and not a thing occurred. I saw a few coyotes come close, but I suspect that they knew I was there and they kept their distance. The owner was thrilled. However, I was in college at the time and would only be able to work for another week or so before I had to go back to school. One night, I was sitting on a fence post gazing out at the night sky when I heard a scraping sound coming from the chicken coop. I grabbed my rifle and made my way over to see what was up. I will never forget what I saw, sort of standing there. It was a bipedal beast about 4 or 5 feet tall with large red alien-like eyes. It had spikes down its back and these long arms that ended with claws. It turned and looked at me, then gargled something and took off running. It ran like a dog on four legs and moved unbelievably fast. I tried to raise my gun, but it was out of sight before I even cut the thing near my shoulder. The next morning, I told the rancher what I saw. He simply swore and ended the tirade with the word chupacabra. I finished out the week with no further encounters. The rancher continued to have trouble and ended up selling his goat herd. After that, he no longer had any troubles. Jamie Nichols, Jonesboro, Arkansas. Well, Jamie, that does cover a host of things I love. First, a good orb story, a tale from Texas, and third, cryptozoology, one of my favorite paranormal genres. Thank you for sharing your stories with us. They truly are amazing. Those are your stories for this time. If you have a story that you want to share, just head to the main website at ronsamazingstories.com and click on the story submission banner. And please remember to name your tale and tell me where you're from. What is the paranormal? Experts tell us that it is the events or phenomenon that are beyond the scope of normal scientific understanding. But it's more than that. To people like Jason Dowd, it is a way of life. He faces each day in hopes of finding the answers to questions that few would think to ask or would want to ask. Welcome to The Paranormal with Jason. Well, Jason, this is the pilot of The Paranormal with Jason. Are you excited?
I am excited.
You going to miss the Horror Express at all?
Everything but the conductor.
He was a character. We may do something with the Horror Express, you know, come Halloweenish time.
Well, you know, he's already dead, so it's not like he's going anywhere. He'll be there waiting for us.
And you know, the train never stops.
It doesn't.
All right. Well, Jason, I thought a really good way to start this off, to start this whole thing off, is to ask you a question.
Well, I love questions, and I hopefully will have an answer for you. So
all right.
Shoot.
So this is called The Paranormal with Jason, and I think where we need to start this off is with, what does the term paranormal mean to you?
Well, that's a mighty big word there now. But anyways, the paranormal to me means anything that cannot be scientifically proven for whatever reason. I've heard it all the time. My house is haunted. My toilet flushes by itself. Well, if you actually know anything about plumbing, you know that the inside flap on your toilet is a little bit, you know, bent and wavy, and therefore it lets water in. So that to me is not paranormal. However, a book that comes off the shelf and floats across your entire room and then falls down, that's probably more paranormal. So anything that honestly cannot be explained through science or logical reason to me is what I would believe paranormal to be. And that also includes a lot of other things, not just ghosts. That would include to me with demons, cryptozoology, UFOs, anything that we don't quite understand, and it's something kind of scary to us.
Is there an instance that you can think of that you know it's paranormal?
Well, it actually happened in my own particular life. It wasn't somebody else's, but I used to have this weird shadow that would pop out on my wall and just kind of sit there and stare at me all night. And for a shadow to appear in a dark room with very little to no light coming into it and in a spot that would not have been reflected off of something. So, you know, it was like the light was coming in from the side, not in front of it like it should have been. That was kind of weird. However, I would wake up with letters carved into my chest, and it would be all different things, and I'd be bloody for about a day. And that can't be explained to me through science, because nothing should be carving any letters on my chest, period. You know, I mean, if it was drawn on my chest with like a pen or something like that, okay, maybe I did it myself, but I didn't have fingernails. I never had long fingernails or anything like that. So it was absolutely impossible for me to do that while I was sleeping. So that was something I was never able to debunk. I mean, yes, I had some things happening in my house where like the door closed by itself. But I also realized that my brother's room when I was growing up, his room was across the hallway from me, and the wind was, I had my window open, he had his window open, so it can cause a cross breeze and cause it to slam pretty easily. I've never had one open by itself when it was fully locked. But, you know, that's something that I would consider non-paranormal because it can be easily explained. Now, was it the cause of it? I don't know. You know, I didn't do any deep investigation to it, but it's plausible. More plausible than not that it was the open windows that caused that particular door to close by itself. But as far as the letters on my chest and the shadow that was popping up out of nowhere in a pitch dark room at midnight with just a little bit of moonlight coming in from the side of it, not the front of it, I can't explain that.
I think it's safe to assume that the paranormal has been part of your life your entire life. Is that
my entire life? Yes.
You have had experiences as that you can remember as young as, I think you said, 6-7 years old.
Yes. And that was really the coolest because it put me in a really weird situation, but I actually saw the ghost of the Green Lady Cemetery up in Burlington. That was my first ghost experience. Ever since then, I was horrified with death, and I was completely, because I actually, my great grandmother had actually passed away just a few months after I saw that ghost. So I saw what a dead person looked like. I saw a spirit, and it completely freaked me out. I did not want to, I was horrified of the death. I was horrified of these spirits, even though it intrigued me. And the more that I had gone to try to find an answer, which I actually went to a Lutheran school, the more rejection I got and the more, problems I ran into. It's like they put up a wall. They're like, you're not allowed to talk to that. If you talk about that anymore, you're going to be expelled. Well, what better place to talk about it than a Lutheran school? You know, I should have had the answers that I wanted from my pastor, but instead they decided to just push it off on me. So I went through my whole life trying to find an answer to what I physically saw. And that's really what got me into the paranormal. And then on top of it, I started realizing I could see ghosts, I could hear ghosts, I could speak to ghosts when I wanted to. I could predict things that were going to happen to me and other people and reading energies. And that kind of freaked me the hell out, to tell you the truth. And so, yes, my first ghost experience was the Green Lady. I got verification of everything that I saw in a book called A Haunting of Connecticut and Connecticut Haunts. And I found that out in 96. So we're talking 84, 85 to 96. I finally got my information, and everything that I saw that night was backed up by several other eyewitnesses to that ghost from the 1960s to the 1990s when this book was written. So I wasn't nuts. And that has really kind of inspired me to follow out and find out if ghosts exist, try to prove to people that, you know what, you're not necessarily nuts. And just try to find the Holy Grail to prove that ghosts exist.
I guess the last question I would ask on this before we move on to our contest is just short and brief. Does the paranormal frighten you in any way?
It used to. It doesn't anymore. after seeing what I believe was to be a demon, which was what that shadow was I was talking about earlier, and the things it did to me and the things it did to my friends, nothing scares me anymore. I can go into one of those haunted houses and stuff and have people jump up on me and try to scare the crap out of me. And honestly, I don't get scared anymore from any of that stuff. It's all second nature. And I actually kind of invite it to see me. I want to see it because that will validate so much for me. And I'm one of those explorers. I want to see that stuff. Even though it might freak most people out, I'm not scared of it. And I never will be after my experiences.
Well said. Well, Jason, we made a promise to everyone out there that you were going to tell us all about what happened to the David Larson marionette.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're ready to move on to do that, don't you think?
I think so, too. Now, we did get a lot of great responses from this. And you know what? It was actually really hard to choose one. In fact, I haven't quite chosen one yet. I have a couple that I'm really interested in, and I'm looking at a couple of different things. I'm looking at your ability to be creative, your idea to be fun, and to see how crazy you could have gotten. And there's a lot of that. So I really appreciated everybody's response to this. Now, should I come out and say what happened to the thing right away? Or do you think we should read
what these? What I thought we would do is just kind of briefly explain that back, I'm going to say, a couple of years ago now, maybe even further back than that, we did a show when David Larson contacted us. He said, "Hey, guys, I have got a doll that has freaked me out since I was a little boy. And I want to gift this doll to Jason to see if there's something with this thing." Now you take it from there.
Yes. Yeah, so what we did, that happened right after Category 5 that came right up the coast of Florida where I live. And that was in 2017 when we did the show. And ironically, the doll was supposedly had the ability to move. So that was one of the things I was always looking at. And at first I did a couple of investigations. I brought some of my friends over. We all investigated it. We all studied it and nothing happened to it, which is pretty interesting. What I did see though, is that it came with a voodoo doll. It was a little one made out of yarn and it was stuck inside a plastic piggy bank. And I couldn't understand the significance between the two. So what I decided to do was after a couple of months and almost a year of searching for this ghost and see if it would really do what it was supposed to do, I got nothing. Maybe one questionable or two questionable EVPs, but nothing more than that. So I just kind of left it alone. And every time I come out there, I'd check it and see what was going on with it. Then I kind of forgot about it. And I don't know if it was very happy with me. But what ended up happening was a couple weeks ago, I'm sitting here typing in my office and working, and I got this weird like vision. I'm like, what happened to that doll? And so I went outside to the kitchen and I ran into my wife and she's looking at me and she goes, "Where are you going?" I said, go into the garage. She goes, "Why?" I said, "Well, you remember that little haunted doll?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Have you seen it lately?" Her eyes got super big and she's like, "No, I haven't." So we ran out in the garage and sure enough, son of a gun was gone. And, it took us a little bit of time to figure out what happened to it, but we did figure out what happened to it.
All right. Well, I'm going to start us off then.
Okay.
I have here our first guess as to what may have happened to the doll.
Well, go for it.
All right. Well, this comes from Sarah Gaines, and Sarah is from Northport, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Her guess is, "I believe the doll needed some McLoving. I have had the pleasure of sitting alone in the garage for a very long time. And brother, it gets old after the first 72 hours. Your doll has flown the coop and is in search of better haunts." Haunts. Get it? And that's from Sarah Gaines, Northport, Virginia.
Well, first of all, I love the McLoving part. You can't go wrong with a McLoving in anything that you get. Second part, what the heck are you doing in the garage for 72 hours? I've done it myself for 84, but that's neither here nor there. I admire your commitment to stick with it. So I love that one.
I think it's okay. I do like your pun. In search of better haunts. Haunts. Get it? Haunts. You get it, right?
I do get it, yes.
And of course, McLovin is in reference to, I forget the movie it's from,
Super bad.
Super bad. Yes, that's it. So thank you very much, Sarah. That is a good guess.
It is a great guess.
Why don't you read the next one there, Jason?
This is from Michelle Weatherly from Texas State University. I listened to the episode and I know where the doll is. I believe there had been a hurricane. Hurricanes and tornadoes have similar traits. Most agree that high winds equal a trip over the rainbow. Your doll has gone to be with the Wicked Witch of the West.
I love it. Thank you, Michelle. That is what happened. I'm going with that one.
Well, you know what? He did come to me after a hurricane, so this isn't completely far off.
No, that's why I say it's perfect, because you had had, I think it was it hit your town at class 4?
Class 2.
Well, that's still nothing to sneeze at.
No, it's not. And, you know, the funny thing is that she is right. They do have similar traits. And ironically, we haven't had a hurricane since then, but we have had some tornadoes. They have been in the Bay. They have been in the Gulf of Mexico and the Tampa Bay area. So, yes, I have been very close to some tornadoes since then.
Well, I like Michelle's thoughts. Somewhere over the rainbow. Okay, so we have Looking for Better Haunts and Somewhere Over the Rainbow. This next one comes from Al Capone. Did you know it was from Al Capone?
I thought he was dead.
Well, it comes from Al Capone, a.k.a. Darren Miles, Seattle, Washington. My neck of the woods. It says here, I'm going to do this in my best gangster voice. Your doll is with me, and if you want him back alive, please put $9.28 in an unmarked envelope and mail it to 325 South Santa Claus Lane, North Pole, Alaska, 99705. Oh, and it has to be posted no later than midnight.
That one's really creative. Now, I don't understand what the $9.28 is, but, you know, I like the gangster thing. It should have been like, you know something. The doll's with me. I wonder if you want it back alive. Put $9.28 in an unmarked envelope, or it's going to get iced.
We should have had you read that one. Anyway, Al Capone, a.k.a. Darren Miles, very creative, but I don't think that's right.
No, it probably isn't right. But you know what? I have seen a lot of gangsters come by and kidnap things, so you never know.
You do.
He could be at the bottom of the ocean.
With the fishies.
With the fishes.
All right. Do you want to grab our next one here?
I will. This is from Patricia Blanford of Tacoma, Washington. Jason and Ron, you know very well where Pinocchio is. You let him go home with me for the weekend to star in my fabulous tribute play of life and times of Carlo Collodi.
Now, do you know who Carlo Collodi is?
I have no idea who that is.
That's who wrote Pinocchio.
Ah, okay.
How about that? I had to look that up.
Well, you know what? That's really creative because I did not know that. I mean, I've only saw the Disney version of it, but I knew it was a book. I just never knew who wrote it. So I learned something today.
Yeah, me too. I had no idea. I said, I don't get this. But then when I looked it up, it makes perfect sense.
So is she saying that he became a real boy? And ran away? Or did he physically, is he sitting in the bottom of the ocean with that killer whale?
I don't know, but I do know this, that we let Pinocchio go home with her to star in her fabulous play.
Hopefully he did a good job, too.
It's plausible. Do you remember doing that?
I don't remember sending him out a ticket anywhere, but that doesn't mean he didn't get up and go himself. I mean, an opportunity is an opportunity.
That's right. All right, Jason, we got one more candidate.
We are in a really tough situation right now because this is kind of neck and neck.
It is.
So this is good stuff. Now, we do have that one last one. This one's kind of on a intelligence level. I love this one.
This one's off the charts in terms of well thought out.
Yes.
All right. Well, this comes from James Thompson, Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Full disclosure. James is my brother. Full brother. My name, I was later adopted when my mom remarried, so. Mm. All right. Are you ready?
Sounds good. I'm ready. Let's hear this.
All right. The solution to the mystery of Jason's doll will be found in quantum physics. It seems that his missing and now recovered doll must have conquered quantum decoherence and entered a state of supersession. For Jason, and indeed for us all, the result will be disconcerting, to say the least. When a being enters supersession, also known as a parallel world, it doesn't actually enter a new world, but instead becomes a new version of itself, which then generates a new parallel world around itself. This means that Jason now dwells in an alternate universe created by the once missing and now re-emergent doll, a world that is being governed by this mysterious entity. Sadly, thanks to Ron, who broadcast this story, all of us are now stuck in that same world by virtue of knowing about it. Alas. But now, at least, we have found the explanation for those strange times, and we know precisely who to blame.
He's blaming you. you're the redheaded stepchild in this one.
Well, again, that's from my brother, James, from Rio Rancho, New Mexico.
Well, I'll tell you what, that is probably one of the most intense, well-thought-out ideas that I have ever heard.
But do you believe it?
No.
Oh, Jason, I love your frankness.
Well, just don't call me Shirley, right?
But now we have the disastrous task of saying, who won? Was it story number one, Better Haunts? Story number two, Tornadoes Took It Somewhere Over the Rainbow? Story number three, $9.28 or the doll gets it? Story number four, We Let Him Go to Star in a Play? Or The world has been disastrously turned upside down in the world of quantum physics. Jason, do you have a vote?
I do. I'm going to go for the one that made me laugh the most.
Okay.
And that's going to be the gangster one from Al Capone.
Well, I am going to go with my favorite as being that I personally am responsible for the current universe that we all live in. So
we all knew it was you anyway.
So we have a difference of opinion there, but it is technically David Larson's doll originally and now your doll. So I think we should go with your pick.
Well, what do these people get? How should we bring this out? Should we do it Vanna White style?
Let's make
that
a deal.
Let's make a deal. Should we do it that way?
Well, Jason, I have a suggestion that we announce the winner of the contest during the last part of the segment where we do the Gladys Goodies commercial, and you can tell them what they won.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Well, Jason, one of the things that I asked you to do prior to putting this all together was to come up with a story for us, something paranormally. Is that a word?
It is now. I'm making it officially a word. I like that word.
Okay. So, do you have a story for us today?
I do. This one is actually a very personal story that happened to me not too long ago. And I was kind of going through a time where I went through life and I did not deal with things properly. And when you don't deal with things properly, what ends up happening is that it lies dormant. It may not even know, you may not even know that it's infecting you, but it does. Because when other things start to go down, it becomes a chain reaction and you lose control of that. Well, I was losing control of everything around my life, my health, everything. And then on top of it, you had the pandemic and I lost Gladdy around this time and things were just going south fast. I realized that the main cause of it was this situation I was dealing with when I was very little and just kind of put it under the rug for 40 something years. So it was a really eye-opening episode because I was sitting here trying to get myself back into shape, you know, mentally, physically, everything. And I'm sitting here one night at my desk. Now, the way that my house sits, I have a window that points to the west, and everybody knows the sun sets in the west. And here in Florida, it's pretty strong. Even going down, it's strong. It will stay light pretty long. So my room was pretty well lit. To give you an idea, it's about 5 o'clock our time. But the the sun, the way that it was lit up in my room, it was probably about the equivalent of maybe 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a summer night. So it's bright, you know, for a while. And I'm sitting here typing, and all of a sudden I got this really weird feeling. Something just wasn't right. And I was typing, doing my stuff, and the hair started to stand up on the back of my neck. And I was like, uh-oh, this can't be good. So all of a sudden, as I'm typing, the entire room turned pitch black. I could not see anything. It was like it was almost midnight, with just the only thing I could see was the computer screen that was reflecting back from the light that came from it. And I realized I couldn't move either. I was stuck to my chair. I knew something bad was going to happen. Something was going to go down. And out of the blue, my grandmother showed up, and she was pissed.
Wow.
She was screaming at me, and I could not hear what she was screaming, but I could kind of hear a little bit of it. And she said, "You lied to me my whole life." She goes, "This has to stop." She goes, "I'm angry." That's the only part I knew. And then as that started happening, I started getting my energy drained. I started getting really nauseous. I didn't know what to do. I could not move out of my chair. I could not see anything that was light at all. And my two dogs that were sitting here in the room got up and ran out of the room.
Wow.
So I sat there for what it felt like 35 minutes, but it was really only about six. Then all of a sudden the grip released. The whole room got bright again and I could move. The first thing I did is I got up and I ran right out of the house, took my shoes and socks off, and put my feet on the ground to ground myself a little bit. And when I finally came to the light of what just happened, I realized that I do have my family around me 100%, even though they're gone. And just because they're gone doesn't mean that they don't see the truth. And just because that they're gone, that doesn't mean that they don't love me and care for me and don't like what I was doing to myself. And my grandmother was probably one of the sweetest people you'd ever know. But sometimes she has to kick the snot out of you a little bit for me to listen. I'm very stubborn. So she did what she needed to do, and that completely changed my entire outlook. That happened at the beginning of April. And I haven't looked back since. And I've been fixing things. I've been feeling better. My health's getting better. And I'm actually using the energy that I know that I have to heal myself from my own problem of MS. I have had almost no MS problems since I've been channeling that energy and using it for the positive good. So that's my paranormal story. I think it's amazing. And I want people out there to realize that just because your loved ones are gone doesn't mean that they're gone. You may not hear them. You may not feel them, but they are right there with you. And if you really look inside your heart, that's where they live. And they will always live there. And as when you need them the most, believe me, they are there. I needed my grandmother so bad, but I didn't call for her. She just knew I needed her. And because I am able to see things and hear things and feel things differently than some people can, she used that to her advantage. And for the first time since she passed away in 1999, she kicked the living crap out of me. And I couldn't be happier that she did.
That's incredible, Jason. That is amazing. Thank you for sharing that with us. Was this about the time that your infamous Facebook post came out too?
I have a lot of infamous Facebook posts, but probably, yes. It was probably one of my, because then's when I really started to go a little bit deeper into the post. And I didn't really want to tell anybody what's going on. I still don't.
You didn't, but I could tell something happened.
Oh yeah, something definitely happens. And I've been dealing with this on and off. But I have started to realize that you cannot put things away. Just because you think that they're gone does not mean that they're gone. And sometimes when you are overwhelmed the most, that's when they shine their ugly heads at you. And then you become completely dragged down, overwhelmed, and that's when you can have some serious problems happen to you. So if you ever have a problem, even if it's a problem now that you didn't realize you had, or you knew you had, you just forgot about it, take the time to go through and fix it, because that will come back and haunt you later. I promise you that. That's the wisdom I got from these paranormal experiences.
That is incredible. Again, thank you for sharing that with us. I don't have a lot to say other than I think it takes a lot of guts to do what you just did.
I mean, this has not been easy. This has been a fight. I've had good moments. I've had bad moments. And I knew it was going to be a fight. I knew it was going to be tiring a long time ago. That's why I didn't deal with it. I didn't want to deal with it, you know? And it's like, I made a mistake. I made a bad mistake, and I'm living up to that mistake, and I'm going to fix it, because that mistake also was one of the leading causes of why I got MS. A lot of it was from the hits in the head I took playing hockey and, you know, bicycle accidents and stupid stuff, you know, that jiggled the neurological neurons to cause it. But the stress is what makes it bad. Anybody that with MS knows that stress is actually one of the leading factors for flare-ups and how bad that flare-up is. And so I lived in stress my whole life. Hmm. I was trying to cover up a lie. And the more times you try to cover up a lie or hide things, it causes inside turmoil. You're always looking over your back. You're always looking over your shoulder. You're always dotting every I, crossing every T to make sure that the story is the same the entire time. That is no way to live. And I guarantee you, doing so brings that stress. And anybody that has anything that they're not dealing with, that stress is there. It may not be exactly the way that I was doing it by living a lie myself, but regardless, it's going to eat at you. And it's going to hurt you. It's going to haunt you. And it can cause other health issues down the line. And don't get yourself sick. Don't be like me. I think I can reverse it. And I have been kind of reversing it. But not everybody's going to have that opportunity. So when you get that off, believe it or not, you go outside, the stars look brighter. The sun looks brighter. You appreciate life more. You appreciate everything around you. You feel better inside. And it's a wonderful feeling. And maybe paranormal. It may be paranormal. It may not be. But that is your spirit talking to you. That's your spirit talking to your heart. That's your spirit talking to your brain and your mind. And you're seeing things differently. And when you listen to your spirit, you listen to your soul, you listen to your heart, you can't go wrong.
Incredible. What was your grandmother's name, just for the record?
Her name was Velma Smith.
Well, thank you, Velma, for waking Jason up. Well, Jason, shall we move on to talking a little bit about Gladys Goodies?
Yes, let's do that.
So what's going on there these days?
Well, we already have all of our flavors out, which I'm really excited. I haven't really done so much with coming out with new things. I'm just trying to survive because, as everybody knows, that the coronavirus really hurt a lot of things. So everything is by mail. So I've been kind of diverting my attention to reaching out to people. And we've been getting orders from coast to coast. And I love that. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, one thing that really got me excited, and it kind of broke my heart at the same time, I was eating dinner and I got this order for a specific toy. And when I got back to the house here to look it up on our catalog, we didn't have it. They discontinued it. So it was an order that I could not fill. And I asked her what she wanted to do. And she said, you know what? She goes, this toy is this dog's everything. She goes, I don't know if another version of it will do. And so she goes, I'm going to have to pass. I said, I totally understand. However, that completely broke my heart. So what I did, I ordered the other toy anyways, and I sent it to the lady for free. I don't want that dog to be missing something out that it could possibly love. So I said, you know what? If this dog loves it, then I am extremely happy. If this dog doesn't love it, there is no harm, no foul on you, nothing lost, but I hope your dog enjoys it. And I sent it to her, and I really hope that that dog loves it. So these are the things I get to do for people, and I love helping out people in situations, and I love helping out animals. So I got to do that. That made me really happy. And things are going good. And the other thing that I've been getting a lot of orders for is Jackson Galaxy's cat homeopathic solutions. Hmm. You know, everybody knows Jackson Galaxy.
He's the guy on TV, right? Galaxy.
Yeah, he's the guy on TV. He's the cat whisperer. You know, he made these specific tinctures to help with 27 of them I have. 27 specific things that can happen with cats, from noise to marking to allergies to parasites, you name it. He's got it for something. And these things are starting to sell like wildfire. And I love working with a guy that loves doing what he does so much. That was one of the biggest things that made me want to work with him and be a reseller for his products, because I want to relate to other businesses like that, because that's what I do with mine.
I've watched his show, I think, on Animal Planet.
Yes, it's on Animal Planet.
And he's a guy, for those who don't know, he goes to help people with their troubled cats, mm-hmm. help change behaviors. Cats are very behavioral, and will learn a new behavior if you take the time to help them.
Yeah.
So,
and you know,
great.
Sometimes when you have a problem with your cat, what I realized from him, 90% of the time it's something so simple to change. And I'm like, wow, It's if it's that easy, it's really just not understanding the cat and what the behavior is causing and what's causing that behavior. But when you do, it's like one guy, it was just simply because he was living in an apartment, but the cat was tearing up everything. He put a couple of things on the wall for the cat to climb up on and it stopped. Yeah. Something as simple as that. And he's a genius. He really is a genius.
Cats, the worst thing in the world that can happen to a cat is to get bored.
Uh-huh.
Then they get creative. I'm yes. telling you from experience. All right. Well, getting to the rewards, Jason, I'm going to ask you for a favor.
Sure.
Well, we already know that Darren Miles is going to receive a gift. Mm-hmm. Can we do one for Jim, too? I know he's my brother, and everybody's going to send me mail, but can we do that?
I'm going to do an Audible right now. I loved everybody's stuff. I could not choose. Everybody's going to get at least a 3-ounce bag of chicken.
Oh, Jason, no. Really?
Yes, absolutely. I want everybody. Everybody was creative with this, and I appreciate that so much. And I appreciate your animals, and I really hope that they will get some benefit out of this. I want them to all have it. We've all been through a tough time. Everybody's going to get a bag.
Oh, Jason, you're awesome. You are awesome.
All I'm going to need is an address for each one.
Not a problem. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send out a group email to each one of you, and all you have to do is write back with your address, and Jason will fulfill the order.
Absolutely. Everybody here is a winner. I was impressed by every one of them, and I really couldn't choose. The one that made me laugh was probably, I always need to laugh, so that one stuck out a little bit higher, but honestly, they all were great, and you guys are all winners. I'm sorry. That's the way it's got to be.
All right. Well, I got to tell you, just for the record, you guys are all winners. All right, Jason, I think it's time to end this.
I think so, too. I had a lot of fun, though.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. I'm going to say that's it this time for The Paranormal with Jason. Next time we get together, it'll follow more of a paranormal theme than we did today. But I think that we all can be forgiven for this particular episode, the pilot episode of The Paranormal with Jason.
But I got to end it on a good note.
What's that?
The doll was in a box.
I'm an idiot, aren't I?
He was in a box that was sitting behind my chicken feed. How he got there, I don't know. Because I haven't cleaned that garage since 2017. So that's where he is.
Can you believe I almost forgot that?
I know.
Okay. So one more time, the doll ended up in a box and you don't know how it got in there.
I do not know how it got in there, no.
All right. So let's go through these again. No, none of them guessed was in a box.
None of them was in a box.
All right. Thank you, my friend. I had a great time talking with you.
Me too.
And until next time. Be cool.
Bye.
The Paranormal with Jason was brought to you by Gladys Goodies. Great treats for your pets to eat. If you need treats or swag for your little friends, head to GladysGoodies.com and indulge your pets. Don't forget to use your very own promo code, RONS. That's RONS, and you will receive a 20% discount on all of your purchases. That website again is GladysGoodies.com. Until next time, watch out for the paranormal. That was episode number 444 and was a whole lot of fun. I need to thank Connor Ryan, Alexis Hope, Larry Bursey, Jamie Nichols, James Thompson, Sarah Gaines, Michelle Weatherly, and Al Capone, aka Darren Miles, for taking part today. If you want to follow the podcast or the blog, head to ronsamazingstories.com. There you will find any of the links I mentioned and how to contact us. Do you want to help the show? The best thing you can do is to tell your friends all about it, and please leave reviews or feedback wherever you listen. Clicking that follow or like button makes us grow. Thank you for listening, and I hope you come again to find out what are Ron's Amazing Stories.